Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 47. Karma dyarabhate dehi, dehe nat manuvartina, karma bhistanude deham, ubayam tva vivekshit kataha. Karma kamani, material fruit of activities. Arabhate begins. Dehi, a living entity who has accepted a particular type of body. Dehena, with that body. Atma anuvartina, which is received according to his desire and past activities. Karma bi, by such material activities. Tanute, he expands. Deham, another body. Ubayam, both of them. Two, indeed. Avivekataha, due to ignorance. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entity who has received his present body because of his past fruit of activity may end the result of his actions in this life. But this does not mean that he is liberated from bondage to material bodies. The living entity receives one type of body, and by performing actions with that body, he creates another. Thus he transmigrates from one body to another through repeated birth and death because of his gross ignorance. Purport. The living entity's evolution through different types of bodies is conducted automatically by the laws of nature and bodies other than those of human beings. In other words, by the laws of nature, prakriti kriyamanani, the living entity evolves from lower grades of life to the human form. Because of his developed consciousness, however, the human being must understand the constitutional position of the living entity and understand why he must accept a material body. This chance is given to him by nature, but if he nonetheless acts like an animal, what is the benefit of his human life? In this life, one must select the goal of life and act accordingly. Having received instructions from the spiritual master and the Shastra, one must be sufficiently intelligent. In the human form of life, one should not remain foolish and ignorant, but must inquire about his constitutional position. This is called atato brahma jignasa. The human psychology gives arise to many questions, which various philosophers have considered and answered with various types of philosophy based upon mental concoction. This is not the way of liberation. The Vedic instructions say, tad vigartam, tad viganartam, gurum eva vigachet. To solve the problems of life, one must accept a spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadyate gignasu shreya utama. If one is actually serious in inquiring about the solution to material existence, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tadvidarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master by surrendering himself, pranipatena, and rendering service. An intelligent person must inquire from the spiritual master about the goal of life. A bona fide spiritual master can answer all such questions because he has seen the real truth. Even in ordinary activities, we must first consult We must consider gain and loss, and then we act. Similarly, an intelligent person must consider the entire process of material existence and then act intelligently, following the directions of the bona fide spiritual master. So the text again. Kamanya rabate dehi dehe natmatmunavartina karma bis tanute deham avayam tva vivekataha. The living entity who has received his present body because of his past fruit of activity may end the results of his actions in this life. But this does not mean that he is liberated from bondage to material bodies. The living entity receives one type of body, and by performing actions with that body, he creates another. Thus, he transmigrates from one body to another through repeated birth and death because of his gross ignorance. With this verse in mind, we can consult the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, since this is Purushottama month, and that's called Purushottama Yoga. So in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Shariram yadavapnoti yatschap yukriti samaha grihi vaitani samyati vayorganda ivashyat. That's 15.8. Shariram yadavapnoti yatschap yukramati shraha grihi vaitani samyami vayorganda ivashyat. So vayor means the wind. So just like, well, I'll give the translation of the verse. The living entity carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aroma. Thus he takes one kind of body and then quits it to take another. So the living entity is the soul, and the soul is in a body. And the body has a gross aspect, and has a subtle aspect, and part of the subtle aspect is the mind. And Krishna has already said in the 8th chapter that according to the state of mind at the time of death, one receives a certain type of body. That's how the material nature works. But we're carrying a certain conception of life. That is, everyone has a particular conception of life, and that's considered like air carrying aroma. The air is the consciousness of the soul, and the aroma is our conception of life. Just like a rose. Well, air passing through a rose garden, it smells very nice. But when that same air passes through a stool, then it smells very foul. The same air is there, the air hasn't changed, but due to association, sometimes it appears to be very sweet, and sometimes it appears to be very disgusting. That depends upon association. Purusha prakriti sohi punkte prakriti jangunan karna guna sangosya sad asad yoni jamasu. Thus, the living entity follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with those three modes, and thus he meets with both good and evil amongst the various species. Gadadhar. Maybe you should stand up. Don't fall down, though. So everything is due to association. That is, the mind can pick up association. The mind picks up the three modes. And the mechanism of that is principally through hearing. Hearing is a mechanism by which we accept conceptions. Now, there's material conceptions in the three modes, just like people will talk about the glories of how nice it would be to live in harmony with nature. Go out, spend your time, rather than in the bar, in the mode of ignorance, spend your time with the flowers and the trees and the birds and the bees. So that's one conception. And other people will say, this is all sentimental, you have to get into the hard liquor, and then you really find salvation and happiness. And other people say, no, you should spend your money working hard, it's time and making money. And then when you make money, you can enjoy everything you want. Anything you want is available for you. So everyone's talking, and everyone in the material world is talking about glorifying one of the three modes of material nature, or a combination of them. And therefore, Prabhupada said these philosophers, whether it's Jaimini, who's glorifying fruitive activities in the mode of passion, or Astavakra, that everything came out of atoms, the mode of ignorance, or the others, Vaisheshika, merge in Brahman, impersonalism, which is more or less tending towards the mode of goodness, renunciation, and knowledge. So everyone has their conception, is glorifying that conception, writing books about it, making movies about it, whatever. And everyone's hearing about it, and the mind becomes attracted to a certain conception, and then the mind becomes covered by that conception. One sees through that conception. Now, Krishna says in the next verse, as soon as we accept a certain conception, as soon as our mind becomes clouded by that conception, as Maharaj Rishab, as quoted Mushabdev yesterday, Paravas tavada bodha jata, yavana jignasita atma tattvam, yavana kriyastavada dhammano vai, karmatmana yena sharira bandaha. That if one is absorbed in material life and is not interested at all in atma tattva, sees things from the materialistic point of view, then one is said to be defeated by ignorance. Abodha jata. And that ignorance covers one's mind. And the mind, when the mind is covered, the consciousness becomes unclear. And when the consciousness is unclear, then we take one body after another. Maharaj Shabdev, Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj, they're all talking about the same thing, using slightly different language. So, the point is that as soon as we take a material body, then chotras chakshus sparsanam cha rasanam granam eva cha adishayam anachanya vishayam upasevate. Then we get a certain type of ear, actually chakshu, eyes and ears and nose and tongue, and all these are centered around the mind, and that's where we're destined to enjoy a particular set of sense objects. Just like now we take for granted that in the human form of life we can see in a certain way. But if you became a fly, you wouldn't have one eye, you would have 1,000 eyes or 10,000 eyes. So your vision would be a little different. You'd have more eyes than Indra has on his body. And if you had the eyes of a vulture, you wouldn't need glasses. You certainly wouldn't be nearsighted. You could go up 2 miles in the sky and see a rabbit on the ground. You'd have such good vision. You'll never find a vulture with glasses. Therefore, when you get a certain type of eyes, then you're going to have a certain type of vision. When you have a certain type of ears, just like we can blow a whistle, none of us will hear, but every dog in the neighborhood, they'll hear it and they'll start responding with dog kirtan. Therefore, every living entity gets a certain set of senses, like the tongue, as Prabhupada would often point out. If we were offered a plate of halava, most of us, if we were hungry enough, we would appreciate it. But if you offer that to a pig, he'll look disgusted. On the other hand, if you offer a plate of stool to a pig, he'll eat the stool with great relish and invite his family members. Get it while it's hot. But if you offer the same food to a human being, most of them would find it quite disgusting. So every single body, every individual body, has a particular type of taste and sight and hearing ability. All the senses are different. And therefore that creates a certain liking for a certain set of sense objects. But, after all, whether you're an animal or a human being, simply in the modes of material nature, or not following any process of spiritual elevation, your business is the same as the animals, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. What you're eating may be different. What you're perceiving is desirable may be different. But after all, it's the same. It comes down to the same activities. On the other hand, Krishna says, Ukraman tam sitim vapi bunjana vagunanvita vimuro nanapashanti pashanti gyana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge, they can see all this clearly. In other words, most people don't perceive themselves as a soul within a body. They perceive that the body is the soul, or the mind is the soul. So this is called ignorance. And because they're in ignorance, avidya, as pointed out here, abodha jata, therefore they've acquired a false ego. And because they're absorbed in the false ego will not allow them to see beyond the material concept of life. They've taken shelter of the false ego. They refuse to budge beyond it. It's called griha vratanam. They're convinced, adanta govira vishatam tamizram, punak punas charvita charvananam, that the only happiness possible, the only goal of life possible, is to simply try to gratify the senses. And therefore, because they're made a vow, griha vratanam, to remain in that state of consciousness, they determined to do so, they won't listen to any other conception or any other idea. And therefore, they're absorbed in a false ego, which automatically brings them to the platform of dvesha and rag. Rag means desiring, and dvesha means aversion, attachment and aversion. So therefore, their whole life is just filled with attachment and aversion. Oh, this food looks very nice, that's disgusting. This is as Prabhupada said, if some attractive lady is walking down the street, then a dog will look at her and think, wow, if she was dead, it would probably be a pretty good meal. On the other hand, a lusty man will look at a very attractive lady and say, I got to get her. And a brahmachari will look at her and say, if I get near her, I might get entangled and get into trouble. So the three, same lady, three different visions, three different reactions. So that's called rag and dvesha. Some will become attracted to something, others will become adverse to it. And the result of all of that is abhinivesita, absorption in the material concept of life, and always been anxiety about I'm going to die and lose everything I'm working so hard for. But Krishna doesn't appreciate that. He says it's all due to ignorance. They don't know. They're foolish. They don't know that they're a soul in the body. They don't know how they got the body. They don't know where they're going to go next. They know nothing. Itantob yoginas chayanam pashantnyatma nivasita pashantnyatma kritatmano naivam pashantya chetasa. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but others, they may try, but they cannot see what's taking place. So Prabhupada points out in this verse, there are many so-called learned scholars, but they don't see things clearly. And therefore, their followers, they're blind, and they'll lead everyone else blindly, and the whole group will get into difficulty. So knowledge is not so difficult. Knowledge begins with the fact that we're not this body. And that's perceivable by an intelligent person, how the body changes, but the soul doesn't change. And that there's a God. We may not perceive the Supreme Lord directly with his flute or his four arms, but we can see how time is controlling all living entities, how time is supreme in this world, and time is working intelligently. So time must be controlled by a person, because people have intelligence. Dead objects have no intelligence. So we can perceive Krishna indirectly. Just like when the sun comes up in the morning, we may not see the sun if we're in this room, just like right now. If we asked you, is the sun up? What would someone say? Gadadhar, is the sun in the sky? Can you see the sun? How do you know the sun's in the sky? Well, because, you know, there's light. You look outside, there's light. You can't see the sun. But by the symptom of light, yes, you can understand there must be a sun. So by the symptoms of the fact how time is controlling everything, and yet it's being controlled intelligently, moving the sun in its orbit, moving the planets in their orbit, as in the 15th chapter will reveal to us, the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we can understand that there is a Purushottama. There's a person behind the whole thing. So those two conceptions, the eternality of the soul and the existence of a supreme soul, and then life, the goal of life should be to connect with that supreme soul. We're connected with him. We're connected with him unconsciously, and therefore we have had to accept this material body. Now, objectively speaking, if someone says, well, I love my body, it's so nice, I'm having such a good time in my body, then good. Good luck. We wish you well. You know, see how long your body's going to last and how happy you'll be when as time goes on. But if that's your conception, go for it. On the other hand, with a little bit more investigation, we can see that there are miseries like birth, death, old age, and disease. There is the miseries coming from this body, from other living entities, from the material nature itself, from the daivas, the demigods, heat, cold, earthquakes. Now, one may, with that in mind, one may say, well, there's not perfect happiness here. Is there another possibility of happiness? Is there another experience I can have beyond simply existing in the material existence? Since we should intelligently understand that we're eternal souls and that there's a supreme soul, so I already have a relation with that supreme soul. Is that the only relationship I can have with him is through a gross and subtle material body? Is there a possibility of some other relationship? So that's called inquisitiveness. And to find out the answer, Prabhupada writes here, Tasmat Guru Prapadyante Jignasya Shreyam Uttama. What is the actual goal of life for the soul? What is the goal of life for the living entity? What is he supposed to achieve in the human form of life specifically? And one has to become inquisitive about that. Now, we think no one has the answer, or we think that I'm satisfied with the answers I get from the newspapers and the radio and from my mother and from school, then there's no need to inquire from someone who has some other perspective on life. Now, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives us another perspective, that we're eternal, that Krishna is God, and that there's a process of realizing Krishna. So we approach someone who may have practiced that art of realizing Krishna more than we have, to ask him, you know, what should I do to improve? This is what I think I should improve. You have any suggestions? Did you go through the same thing I went through? And what did you do in this situation? And how did it help you? Now, the same subject matter is there for everyone. For the self-realized soul, for the person who just picks up Prabhupada's books. And the same thing is there. It's not a different philosophy. It's the same thing. Just a question of, by applying it, one may be able to assimilate it, understand it, apply it in one's life, experience it by Krishna's mercy, because that's part of the process. Krishna says, if you follow the process of bhakti, then the result is I reveal myself to you. So if someone has been following the process of bhakti, we can expect that after some time, Krishna must reveal himself to them. Otherwise, why would they keep on following the process of bhakti unless they were crazy? Unless they were really desperate and they couldn't get food anywhere else. So if someone has more, just like if you want to learn anything, if you want to learn to become a heart surgeon, you may study the, when someone may study the books, But ultimately you have to approach a person, a heart surgeon, who has more experience. Not you and your mother study the book on how to become a heart surgeon, and you discuss it, and you say, yeah, let's try it out. You put up a little sign in your front yard, you know, heart surgery's half price. Someone comes for their heart surgery, and you ask your mom, how are we going to cut his heart open? Well, I got a sore. What about, do you have an electric one? No, we just got a manual. Well, let's try it anyhow. Do you have the manual here? Yeah, yeah. Did it say anything about a sore? No, but anyhow, you got to be practical. What can you expect at half price? No, you have to approach someone who has some experience, who has, they know what they're following the book, but they know what the book actually means and how to apply it properly. And if something goes on outside the book, they have enough intelligence to actually figure out what's the proper reaction, what's the proper thing to do. So anyone who has more knowledge than we do, more experience, if we're humble and we approach them inquisitively about the right points, not that we see someone more steadily engaged in devotional service than we are, they're more enthusiastic and we want to learn from them, you know, can you tell me, is there any movies that are similar, you know, have some Krishna conscious content in them, I'd like to watch them. No, you have to inquire, how did you come to that platform of becoming more enthusiastic and more steady in devotional service than me? And they have to tell you how they came to that platform through Guru Sadhu and Shastra, based on Shastra. They can't say, well, I came to my platform becoming more enthusiastic and I became more steady because I studied chess day and night. And by playing chess, I got so many, you know, realizations, inconceivable realizations about pure devotional service. No, they have to tell, if someone claims that, or we think someone's more advanced, then they have to explain how they got there, how they received Krishna's mercy by following Krishna's instructions. And Krishna's instructions are in our books, in Shastra. And if they say this, well, Shastra is too difficult to understand, I got there some other way, then you should go to some, you know, then we can understand they haven't really gotten Krishna's mercy. Krishna doesn't throw out his mercy like candy canes. And anyone who grabs a candy cane gets his mercy. No, there's, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that there's a process. And Prabhupada summarized the process here. One may give up work and prescribed duties all of a sudden, but by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one could be situated in a transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and the mind, by steady intelligence directed towards one's pure identity. And then the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says at the end, or Prabhupada writes in the purport at the end, 5:29, the end. In the middle of the second paragraph. He comes into contact with Maya illusion due to the desire to lord over Maya. That is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life, even though one is within the jurisdiction of matter, for it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. And here is an important point. The Lord is not partial to anyone. He's not throwing candy canes out to everyone. Just catch. Everything depends upon one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains fashioning the transcendental stage, or Brahma Nirvana. So Krishna is equal to everyone. He's giving everyone a chance. He's giving his instructions. And if we follow them and engage in Krishna's service, controlling, utilizing our mind and senses in his service, then we'll be able to conquer the influence of desire and anger and remain steadily engaged in Krishna consciousness. That Krishna is offering that to everyone. It just depends upon if we take up the process and how seriously we take it up. That's all. And Krishna gives us, he reciprocates accordingly. And if one claims outside that process, Krishna is reciprocating and giving them the full realization outside the process of controlling the mind and senses and engaging them in Krishna's service, then they're simply living an illusion. They may be yogis, whatever they claim themselves to be, but they can't actually see what's actually taking place. Nor do they understand what to do in order to find out what's taking place. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So you said, you read earlier from Prabhupada's purport that we should direct the intelligence towards the pure self, something like
yes, that. Yes, that's right.
So what does it mean actually to direct the intelligence in practical terms?
Read Prabhupada's books, chant Hare Krishna, worship the knees, serve the devotees, and make the atmosphere spiritual in the temple, in your home, and go out and preach and make the atmosphere spiritual there too. That's what it means. To do that requires spiritual intelligence. Otherwise, how can we do it? Do it properly. Chant Hare Krishna and pay attention requires intelligence. To chant lovingly requires intelligence. It all requires spiritual intelligence to do it. We tell people you're not your body, and they say, well, what do you mean? He said, I don't know either. Obviously, we don't have too much spiritual intelligence. But if we explain the body's changing, but we're not changing, the soul's not changing, the person who's conscious is not, then that requires spiritual intelligence. Is that right? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.